Amazing.
If you're following along this evening via the sermon audio or here in person, we are in Hebrews 10 for one more week. That is tonight, and 32 to 39, Hebrews chapter 10, 32 to 39, it says for us here, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions in them that were used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. May the Lord's blessing to the reading of his word, wisdom for our times. Let's pray. Next few moments, Lord, I pray that you'd forgive me of sin, empty me of self, and please, I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, that I would say nothing amiss, be with the many physical infirmities of our church congregation and in our area, be with those teaching downstairs as they prepare to get ready for the program in a few weeks. Lord, I pray that we'd honor you in all that we do and say here at our church that we want to promote, we want to worship and talk about our wonderful Savior Jesus. And so may we do that even this evening through the author of Hebrews. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Three things tonight, if you're jotting down notes. First, we would say the believers should think about the past. Believers should think about the past. And we see number one, then under that, is the persecution that once assailed them. We see that in 32 right off the bat. It says, but call to remembrance, if you would, the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Now remember, he's writing to Hebrew Christians who are thinking about, some of them are going back into Judaism, some of them are apostate and truly aren't born again. They are to call to remembrance. The word there means to call over in your mind one by one, the present tense implying a constant habit. One man says that these Jews who were so close to salvation should, truth by truth and event by event, go back on what they had learned and what they had experienced because of the gospel of Christ. This would be a strong deterrent to apostasy and a strong encouragement to belief. It's like the prayer journal. Have you ever thought about keeping an answered prayer journal? Perhaps you do. I started at different times in my life. I've started one. I wish I'd have kept at it. Because when you get discouraged, you can go back, wow, how God answered prayer time and time and time and time and time again. It's the same God who's going to answer prayer next week. Now, the answers to prayer are not necessarily what we want them to be. And so perhaps you realize, I have to admit, I've applied for so many jobs. A lady sent me a response and said, are you interested in a phone interview? And I had to say, now, where is your place located? Because I couldn't remember even applying for the job. That's how many jobs I applied for. And what I think should happen has not happened yet, but rest that God is still in control. He is. And he will provide the job that he wants. And for you, if you're still looking for a job or soon will be looking for a job, perhaps you don't even know it yet. I'm getting laid off Friday. I believe I'm getting laid off Friday. So perhaps I'll have a few days at home to catch up on me-do list. Not honey-do, because she asked me hard to do anything. She's very wonderful about that. But I have a lot of me-do lists yet to do. They were to go back. And the answers to prayer that they had seen, and they were to remembrance, bring to remembrance the former days. Count your blessings, as Sumner says. Things may be going a mite rough now. He didn't, Mr. Sumner's already in heaven. But look back at the wonderful and marvelous manners in which he has cared for you in the past. Keep reminding yourselves. I love that one, someone I read at one time where it said, a missionary may not need a call to go, and you're thinking, but they're sure going to need a call to stay on the mission field. You may not need a call to go into the ministry, Drew and Seth, whoever's still looking to go into the ministry, whoever else may be, but you'll need a call to stay. Because it's going to be difficult. I'm telling you. It's a daunting task. And the missionaries, I would say an average at least one and a half missionaries. No, I'm sorry, I get a half. 1.5 missionaries a week. Email me now. Can we come to your church? I would love to have missionaries come all the time. But it's a daunting task to raise support, especially in the COVID era, is it not? Churches are just, I'm a little bit hesitant because who's going to be here? Are we going to be able to have service? Is there going to be like, or I don't know, churches in that area has closed for 2 or 3 weeks because people in their church have gotten COVID. So we'll be open then. And so I'm hesitant. I'm going to continue, you know, Lord willing, we'll continue going on. But we keep reminding ourselves, God still. It's not count your blessings, name them ton by ton. It's count your blessings, name them one by one. Oh, God's blessed me today. And you go, no, how is he blessed you today? My car started. It stopped. The cats were well behaved today. We found that this happened and this happened. We had good service this morning. The music was encouraging. And we just start counting our blessings. I got home safely. I had got some extra chicken tenders in my basket today when I got them there at Marathon. I had a bunch of good, and the wedges were really good. The potato wedges were good today. And Jack liked that, and Audrey liked this. And see, it's easy to say, well, God's blessed me today. Sometimes we just need to stop and say, hey, this is how he's blessed me today. And so call to remembrance. He brought me out of a horrible pit, set my feet on a rock. Therefore, he's given me a new song. Has he not given me a new song? Remember the financial problems he has solved. Recall the miracles when the children were little and they were helpless. I remember Ian was in the hospital like the first or second week after being born and different things. Perhaps you had the same thing. At different times, God's answered prayer. Bring to mind these hundreds of answers to prayer, those unexpected blessings like the ravens that came to Elijah. And then the brook dried up and God still was blessing. And I found this. I thought it's quite thought-provoking. I'm not sure exactly who wrote it, but it's regarding, it is with wealth as with a water reservoir. When the drought has dried it up, you find in the deserted bed things that were lost years ago and curious, interesting things which, but for this circumstance of the dry riverbed, would never have been known. So where it is a believing, contented mind, it will discover when the flood of fortune has drained away and the deserted channel, unsuspected sources of enjoyment and lost things, feelings which long since vanished, simple pleasures and primitive emotions which abundance had overflowed. Perhaps during this COVID era, we're going to draw back and to think, you know what, I missed this. I saw a guy on Facebook said, I've been without my phone for 7 days. I don't miss it. And you know, I think sometimes that the phone is, it's a marvel. The phones you have are marvels. But I think in many cases, they're drawing us away from the relationship with God. I really think they are. We're spending so much time, he's spending so much time, sometimes that we forget. We stop. And by the way, I would keep your paper books, all those paper books you've got at home, instead of jettisoning them to get online with. I think there's going to come a time when these electronic devices are going to be very censored and you'll no longer be able to purchase good Christian material. And you're going to go back to those books in my library. I'm going to go back to those books because censoring's already started. It already has. And soon I think we're going to go back. Is it ever wonder why we're having coming back on horses or there's going to be this huge horse army and things? I believe it is horses in the tribulation time. Because we're going to, all electronic gadgetry may very possibly fail. And then we're going to go back to mowing our yards with that little thing hard to push, you know, it has the blades on it. I've used maybe once or twice in my life. A lady in Garfield, New Jersey had one of those mowers, those blades. It's power. It's a power mower. Your power as you push it. It's a power mower. So let's count our blessings and use these resources, yes, but don't let the resources use us. Keep in tune with God. And I know a lot of pastors have gone to preaching from their iPads, and if they want to do that, it's fine. I want something to grab onto and to hold up and say, look at this. And what about if your battery dies? So then I have the power source is still in my hand. And so that's my personal, I'm not boo-hooing, I like gadgets, etc. Just let's not let them use us, if you would. So they have endured fearful persecutions. It says there in our text in chapter 10 that they had, it says there for us, and then 32 to end, endured a great fight of afflictions. It is interesting, it was the Jews who mostly persecuted the infant church. Now, the Spirit had led the Jews to reject the Lord, as their Messiah really had, and they had led them to reject the Savior. Peter and John were arrested for healing a lame man, name of Christ. Apostles were thrashed for persecuting or preaching the gospel. Stephen was martyred, James beheaded, Peter was imprisoned, and the militant Sanhedrin commissioned Saul of Tarsus to go and to bring the people in, etc. Bring them from abroad. Only in two cases in the book of Acts did persecution initiate with the Gentiles. It was almost always Jewish people who were involved in the persecution of the Christians. It was. The faith of Christ, they'd shown a faith to Christ amidst his afflictions. Afflictions there mean suffering in addition to the word fight, which was used by in the day of the Grecian Olympics and warfare. It was a fight of afflictions they were in, these people, these Hebrew ones who had trusted Christ. A tremendous struggle. And it says even there, the Greek polis, great, sometimes translated long. They had been severely afflicted for a long period of time. It was not a game-playing thing for them. It was no sham. It was no make-believe. It was no children's nursery activities. Paul referred to this, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. It is a fight. It was a war they were in for their very physical lives and spiritual lives. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. Sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions, he added his mercy. To multiplied trials, he has multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. So when our trials come, the Lord will continue to bless. He will send. The true Christian perseverance, someone has said, is not tied to tenacity. It is rather the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in a believer's life. The starch in a saint's spine, he says, is shown by Scripture to be nothing less than the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Only in this way can we explain people like Gladys Alward. She was a lady of the London Parlor, a London Parlor lady, and she wanted to go in the missionary society. None of the missionary societies in England would have her. So she went to China on her own. She raised her own support. She went over to China. She traveled all the way through, struggled through Siberia, finally reaching the remote town of Yanchen, China. And then in 1940, Japan invaded, and she ended up as epic journey with 100 Chinese children. The movie was called The End of the Sixth Happiness, produced in 1958. The story was about Ingrid Bergman played the lady, Gladys. In 1947, Gladys's health forced her to go back to England, where she crusaded for missions until her death in 1970. It was the person, they said, cannot do anything for God that had a tenacity, not just British grit. It was God's persevering grace that caused her to continue to go forward when everyone else was a naysayer. Persecution. They endured. They endured persecution. Endure there means to remain under, not simply with resignation, but with a vibrant hope. The idea of enduring is not just to grin and bear it, but to remain under trials in such a way that we glorify God as we learn the lessons the trials are meant to teach us, instead of seeking ways to get out from under the trial. I'll have to admit, I am the one, in case you're wondering among the 25 of us here, I'm the one who's seeking to get out from under the trial as soon as possible. That's me. Trials come, Lord, please get me out. Well, you know, perhaps there's something, Tim, I want you to learn in this trial. So just zip it up and surrender and trust me. But I want you to help. I can't stand it. What's longer, please? Tim, zip it up. And that's what he wants to do. He's promised to be with us through the trials. When he sent the disciples into the storm, he sent them there. He was with them. Now, sometimes he had to come walking in the water. One time he was in the boat, etc. But they went at his... Matter of fact, he had to force them in John 15. John chapter 8. Had to force them to get into the boat. Get in the boat. Go across the sea. The storm's coming. They didn't know that. He did. Get in the boat and go. And so he's promised to be with us. So has shown the faith of Christ to sinners. Partly in verse 33, while you were made a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions. The word gazing stock is from theatrizo. The word means come from our English word theater. Also translated as spectacle. We says it means to bring upon the state, to set forth as a spectacle, to expose to contempt. It's in the passive voice. They're literally being made. They were being made a spectacle. They were put on stage by the unbelievers. Oh, look at him. He's a Christian. And that's the kind of thing that was put on stage. In the arena of testimony, with cat calls and missiles being heard at them by the infuriated audience they had endured. One way these Christians appeared on the world stage was through reproaches, the thought of upbraiding, reviling, casting in one's teeth, according to Weiss, it means used of an unjust, unfair, undeserving reproach. It's similar to 1 Peter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which shall try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Rejoice. One pastor wrote this regarding persecution. Why put up with it? Why not just blend in with the crowd? Why not laugh at the same dirty jokes? Why not be on as one of the guys? Because their new focus was not on pleasing people, but on pleasing God, and God examines the heart. And by the way, there's no merit in suffering for things that we've done that we deserve punishment for. I remember one of the guys, I just left work this past week, and he had one of the most uncontrolled vocabulary I've heard in a long time. And so finally, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, someone said, hey, well, they told me I had a potty mouth, and so I've got to clean it up. So this past Friday, I said, or Saturday I think it was, I said, well, who told so-and-so they had a potty mouth? And they looked around and said, I think we all did. The first day he came in, we said, now he's a preacher, you need to control what you say. And so he didn't, this guy didn't for months, he's worked with him for months. And so, but finally, about 3 weeks ago, he did try to change for a time. He just could not do it. So he was rebuked for his language, just did not even know he used a word that is so horrendous to me. He just used it all the time without even thinking he did. So these folks, their good deeds had been resulted in an amazing paradox. Christ was even evil spoken of by the adversaries, but glorified through the believers, both in the same act. Persecution has a way of weeding out the pretenders. It's interesting, I learned from Talmage that a way that the jeweler tells whether a diamond is genuine or not, one way is he breathes on it, and if the breath lingers there, it's a false diamond. If the breath immediately vanishes, it's a real diamond. Then he has the grinding process afterward if the first fail. So you can tell God's a jewel. If the breath on the temptation comes on it and soon vanishes, it's a real diamond. If the breath lingers and continues to blur on the diamond, it's a false diamond. But better than all is the grinding machine of affliction. If a soul can go through that and keep bright, it's one of God's jewels. And so he uses the grinding machine in us to see what we're really made of. Afflictions are sent, says Henry, for this end, to bring us to the throne of grace, to teach us to pray, and to make the word of God's grace precious to us. Do we thank the Lord for our trials? I can't remember the last time I really, Lord, thank you for this trial. Thank you for my flat tire. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for that guy that cut me off for the 10th time today. Thank you for that really slow driver that caused me to be late to work day. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I don't do that. Perhaps we should. Baxter says, the Puritan, suffering so unbolts the door of the heart that the word hath easier entrance. Suffering so unbolts the door of the heart. Have you not found that true? When you are up against it, Lord, I need you. I think of the song this morning, Lord, I need you. Well, we needed him before the trouble. We're going to need him after the trouble. But are you like me that when the trouble comes, Lord, let's just, well, we got to pray about this. Well, that's great to pray, but let's continue praying. So they'd shown their faith to Christ, to sinners. And secondly, they shared their faith of Christ with saints in a most practical way. In 33, we find there for them, partly whilst ye yet were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. The mere fact they joined the group being persecuted brought affliction upon them. If the neighborhood toughs are throwing tomatoes, rotten eggs, and handfuls of rocks at Christians at conducting a meeting, and you join with the believers, merely join with them, then you're going to be in with the group that's getting thrown at. The rotten tomatoes and everything. Even if you don't sing or testify, you will make you a recipient of the same abuse. They had compassion on those who were being imprisoned and misused. And some of these Christians that Paul's writing to, the writer's writing to, they said, join on there, and they were lumped in, if you would. It's sort of like all pastors, we get lumped in with those TV preachers that have no business preaching, period. Well, you're just like them. Or most preachers aren't like those on TV doing up for show. There's hardly anybody like Benny Hinn that does those kind of things. There are few, but they're very, very few. Most of them are, most of the preachers that you know are trying with God's grace to do what God has called them to do. But there are some like that, there are. That carefully balanced in their minds earthly loss against eternal gain. The very word companions is koinonioi, means partner or partaker. And so they're rendered in each of the eight other times used in the New Testament. They had partners. It's like Simon was a partner with James and John. Peter was in fishing. They had partnered with those who were suffering. 34, for he had compassion of me and my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Wonder of wonders, the last bastion of a convert is willing to give up, short of life itself, is their pocketbook. They had joyfully allowed the spoiling of their goods. Sometimes I think we as Christians, we tip the Lord on Sundays instead of tithing with our offerings. Not only were the possessions of the Hebrews seized, but they were despoiling their means. Literally, according to Robertson, the seizing, the plundering. They were guilty of the Robin Hoods of their era, only the Robin Hoods had no intention of giving it to the poor. They had intentions of using it themselves. And they were had been fairly, unfairly taken advantage of and unfairly plundered and unjustly plundered, taken advantage of, etc. And they took it joyfully. They were able to glory in tribulation. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How are you and I going to act this week when you get in the mail from your taxes in 2019? 2018, that you owe $1,000 more with all the penalties and interest, making it about $3,464 you owe in back taxes because you didn't pay it in 2018. Do you immediately pull out your checkbook? Oh, joy, I get to write the government $3,433. And you run off to the, you put it in the mailbox. Yes, I get to pay the government. You do that. That's like absolutely the farthest thing, Tim. I'd be like, oh. I can't believe this girl. And you probably just like that. It's that little picture in your on your phone that has the head blowing off. That would be it. They joyfully. Can you imagine that? The spoiling of their goods. They were in such a spiritual state that they could receive it joyfully. How could they do it? Because they knew that they were going to receive what infidels today sneeringly call as pie in the sky by and by. Yes, we're going to get pie in the sky by and by. And literally maybe get a Dutch apple pie with ice cream, heated up with ice cream on it. We may literally get that. And we're going to get the blessings of being children of God and joint heirs with all that He has. Dwight Lyman Moody's favorite text carved on the Northfield tombstone, still standing long after his body is now dust. It says, "The world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." The world's passing. And if we have not been woken up to, now I'm not saying you're woke, I'm not saying that. If you not have been awakened to the passing now in our era, please wake up. The believer should think about the past, and much more briefly. My wife has determined that the first point of my sermons are usually by far the longest, and she is correct again. The believer should think secondly about the present, verse 35. "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Don't cast away, professing Christian, true believer, Jewish believer, don't cast away your confidence. It was Jeffrey Bull, who was a number of years, was a prisoner in Chinese communist, who had was subjected to long, dark months of loneliness, accompanied by constant brainwashing. He learned by bitter experience that no form of compromise, no matter how slight, pays off under circumstances like that. Have you not watched in America the last couple of years how we've started to be, it's my personal feeling, but when they started kneeling at the national anthem, that's the start of rebellion against our nation. And now, that was about 2 or 3 years ago, and I've not watched football very much. I've not watched football at all this year. That just turned me off really, really a lot. That's my personal feeling now. But have you not seen things that have started rolling, the ball rolling to where we are now? Do we have a nation that can have rioting in the streets? We've seen those little things, and oh, that's not a big deal. And they were, I remember arguing, it was Mike and Mike in the morning, were arguing about, is that a big deal? I thought, yes, it is a big deal, because that is our national anthem. And people have died. Millions have died for that flag. And when people step and burn on a flag, I just want to send it to another country. I mean, that's my personal opinion.
Because this is our nation. And our nation has been wonderful to you. You may not think so, but it's been one. I've received blessings from living in America. And we are to have, and that's, again, my personal feelings, but I've seen that. We let little things in. We cannot compromise. We cannot compromise on the Word of God. Well, these people really, okay, it's okay, but we start with the Bible. That's where we start with. And if it's wrong in the Bible, it's wrong. Now, we need you some help. That's why there's been this idea in America to outlaw conversion therapy. What is conversion therapy? It's that if someone struggles, I'm struggling with attraction to the same sex, or I'm struggling with, I think I'm not the right gender. And you take a Christian, sits down and says, now here's the principles of God's word. They call that now conversion therapy because you cannot do that. And they want to make laws where Christian counselors cannot sit down and try to keep someone from going into transgenderism or from going into a same-sex relationship. So there's much that we have to pray about and be stand, but we've got to stand on God's word. John Phillips says, one of the favorite tactics of Satan is to wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, what is the antidote to constant persecution? It's patience. Think of, do you know who was in the Bedford jail? About the 1600s. He might have spent time pacing the floor, gazing stolidly into space, working himself into passions of rage or fits of despair. Instead, he took out his pen and he started his book this way. As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I lighted on a certain place where was a den. And I laid me down in that place to sleep, and as I slept, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed, and behold, I saw a man clothed with rags, standing in a certain place, with his face from his own house, a book in his hand, and a great burden on his back. And John Bunyan wrote the single, next to the Bible, the greatest selling book of his time for many years, Pilgrim's Progress. Was the number one best-selling book in the world next to the Bible for a long time. He could have stayed in that jail, and woe is me. He chose, with God's help, to write. Thus, the jail became a den from which he wrote one of the greatest classics of all time, that ye might receive the promise, he says in 36. And finally, not only the believers should think about the past, they think about the present, should think about the prospect in 37. For yet a little while, and he shall come, and he will not tarry. A little while, Robertson says, a very little while. It says in this, which I brought up. Now this is what is called the emphasized Bible by Rotherham. It simply starts with what words emphasized in the Greek. It's not a translation even. It's just what words emphasized in the Greek language. And when you get over to verse 37, it says, for yet a little while, how short, the coming one will be here and will not tarry. Matter of fact, the word there is micron. It is used in, it's one millionth, I have it right here somewhere, close at hand. I do have it right here somewhere. Here it is. 1 millionth of a meter. 1 millionth of approximately 40 inches. That's a pretty small amount. And yet a little while. Now, can you imagine how close his return is now? If when he wrote this, the author, be it Paul or whoever, or Apollos or whoever, and a little while, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. Can you imagine that 2,000 years ago, he's writing this, we're 2,000 years, how short it is now? Is there smaller than micron? It's like smaller. It's a mini micron. How soon he will be coming back for us? We're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We're looking for the blessed hope. We're looking for him to come back. A little while seems long to us. Centuries have come and gone. It seems like such a long time since the promises were given, but the Spirit says it's just a little while. Just a little while to labor. Just a little while. He's going to come back. And he's going to come back for us. What a wonderful thing it's going to be. And as we rush to the end here to save time, they're going to be in constant review. Faith keeps a man from apostasy. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are to live by faith. Three times the New Testament is the just, in Romans 1:17, shall live, Galatians 3:11, by faith, Hebrews 10:38. And by the way, get ready for next week. We start the big chapter, perhaps the greatest chapter in faith in all Scripture, chapter 11 of Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. An absolute confidence. 39. But we are not of them that who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We're not the apostates, says the author of Hebrews, Holy Spirit, through the human author. We're of those who believe the salvation of the soul. So what a wonderful thing it is. Believers should think about the past, think about the present, and should think about the prospect. I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. I am no longer in need of preeminence, popularity, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor by power. My pace is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few. My guide is reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate the table of the enemy, pander at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He'll have no problem recognizing me. For my banner will be clear. That's it. When He comes, if He comes tonight, is your banner going to be clear? I trust it is. Wisdom for a difficult day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You work in our lives. Thank You for Your word. Lord, we just really scratched the surface on these verses tonight. But there were those who had endured great afflictions and were still keeping on. Lord, as we face the future, unknown future, to us, known to You, may we hold fast the truth. May we not compromise. May we be faithful until You take us home through the rapture or even possibly through the passing of the portal of death. May we be faithful. Thank You for those who've gone before us, and may all who come behind us find us faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 391. In closing, please, 391. If you want to grab a hymn book, it's a familiar song. We'll sing a couple of verses. 391. Give you a chance if there's a